So it is very clear that the people who wrote the so-called three letters of John come from the same mental world as do the people who wrote the Gospel of John. There's all this talk about love. But it gets complicated because we have this business of love as a command. And here, if you'll be patient with me, we need to understand that, because we in the Roman Church are so familiar with commands, with law, with obedience, with doing the right thing, you know, with following orders, with keeping in line, straight lines, like the nuns kept us when we were walking into classroom after recess. That's all right for little kids, but none of the scriptures were addressed to little kids. They're addressed to adults. And we know as adults that you cannot command love. You cannot command love. You simply cannot. You can extort obedience or conformity. But certainly you cannot command this impulse to generosity which arises from one's heart. So what is all this stuff about commandments? Well, it's very clear that the people who wrote the Gospel of John wanted to cast Jesus as the new Moses. And of course, Moses is intimately connected with the covenant, and out of the covenant, the commandments. The covenant was an ancient form in the Near East between a lord and their serfs. And it worked like this: I'll take care of you if you provide food for me and my family. So it was a mercantile arrangement, and that was called a covenant. Huh? However, when the Jews were casting around trying to figure out how are we to respond to this liberating God, this God of the oppressed, they could have used all kinds of metaphors, and they did: king, shepherd, rock, shield. But the big one was this business of covenant. But in adopting this pre-existing notion of covenant, this legal arraignment, they radically upended its meaning. So that it's not a question of obligation, but of gratitude. The movement to respond to God is an act of gratitude. Although we will talk about commandments, because the legal form of the suzerainty covenant always had commandments, but the reason for this is drastically different. I respond to God out of gratitude. And please note, gratitude is always free. Just like love is always free, or it's not love. We have all kinds of counterfeits, of course. But the real thing is always free. And here is where the audacity of the Johannine circle becomes extreme. They want to say in the letters and in the gospel that the love that God had for Jesus is the same love that Jesus has for us and calls us to have for each other. I mean, I've just been dazzled by that this last few weeks, because their daily readings have been dealing with this love commandment. But think about it. As the Father had loved me, so I have loved you, and you are to love one another. This total generosity, nothing withheld, no deals made, freedom responding to freedom, in freedom. What is remarkable as well is that these readings put the skids to something that has become a kind of mantra or a bit of folk wisdom, which every time I hear it drives me crazy. Well, I can't love anybody else if I don't first love myself. It sounds so plausible. It is total rot. It is total and absolute rot. How do I get to be free enough to love somebody else if I have not been first freely loved? It's impossible. It is simply impossible. My freedom to love somebody is generated in me as a response to my belief that I really am being loved freely. That's why we're so bad. We're so bad at it. At least I'm so bad at it. Let me speak for myself. Love, in my case, is always what we used to call charity with a hook. Yeah. I'll love you, but I expect in return the following items. Blah, 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 blah. Sex, money, reputation, status, clothes, a car, blah, blah, blah. Fill in the blanks. And that's why this stuff is in a real sense, overwhelming. And so audacious. That these people, and this is not just characteristic of John, Paul does the same thing, only from a markedly different direction. Love is the heart of the whole business. Love as the free self-giving of God to Jesus, of Jesus to me, of me to each other. So finally, it is because I suggested at Brescia and Mass a couple of days that love is the most dazzling word in the English language. I think, you know, you hear the word love and, you know, stars appear and the angels sing and the clouds part and, you know, do all this wonderful, rose petals fall from heaven and pigeons go up, you know, skyward and all this glory. The problem with that is that it simply stops our brain from functioning, I think. It's like love is some kind of word magic. You just say the word and the reality is there. It's not there. So finally, what does it mean to love somebody? What does it mean to love somebody? I mean, we in the West have so sentimentalized this that love is a feeling. I get this from the kids' essays all the time. Love is a feeling. You know, it comes, it goes, you know, like the flu. You know? Love is not primarily a feeling. Feelings don't exist by themselves. So what does it mean to love somebody? What did it mean for the Father to love Jesus? What did God want from Jesus? Same thing God wants from me, wants from John, wants from Paul, wants from everybody on the planet. To grow up. To love somebody is to enable them to grow up. It's as simple as that. And to grow up means to grow more free. To outgrow the kind of compulsions and obsessions that we have that control so much of my living, at least. My appetites. To want simply to provide space for the other that they can grow and become free in the hope, and that's all it can be, that they will freely love me. And freely love God. It is simple. It really is simple, I think. But it's not simple existentially. Because it's very hard to outgrow this sense of love as some kind of tidal wave of emotion that sweeps me away. You know, that noxious cowboy song of several years, I gotta get back to feeling. I get back to feeling. My boyfriend's been in jail for 6 years. He's coming home. Now I gotta get back to feeling. Rubbish. That's archetypical North American understanding of this whole business. I gotta get back to feeling. The feeling arises only when I truly love the other and see the other to grow. Then there can be joy. Then there can be peace. Then there can be this exaltation, this inner exaltation. But only after and as an accompaniment with my attempting to liberate the other, to love, to help him to grow up. So this is wild stuff, I think. just wild stuff. And absolutely the last thing. And this gives us the one criterion to judge everything that goes on in the church or in the world as to whether or not it is authentic insofar as it enables us to love in this fashion. Everything is to be subordinated to that. We see it in the reading from Acts, which was we've had almost every day since Easter. What does Acts say? That God's love is not circumscribed by his choice of the Jews. But rather, the Jews are faithful to God only when they are precisely agents of God's love to everybody. That's what it's about. That's why they were surprised. Oh, the Gentiles basically are loveless people. Well, yeah, but you guys have the responsibility to alter that. Because you yourselves have been transformed by the love of God. And of course, the pivot for this is Jesus. The figure of Jesus. So, where does this leave us? As one of the hymns says, all lost in wonder at the God thou art. And then hopefully to engender in us the passion to seek that God, mysterious other, as Aquinas called him over and over again, who does love us, who liberates us.